Good morning, everybody. I think it's 10:30 now. We need to start. Whereas there are members that are coming on the way, so they will get us on the way. We're not going to wait for them. Let me take this opportunity to welcome you all in this meeting of today. Before we start, I'm going to introduce myself and one honorable member that is here now, and then we'll continue to do that as they come. I'll start from me. I'm Noel Thando Qikane, the chairperson of the Land and Environmental Affairs from the Eastern Cape. I also had my honorable member, who is a member of the committee, Daryl. Honorable Daryl, he is from Free State. I will go straight to my, starting from you, Desh.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Deshni Pillay. I'm the content advisor.
Good morning. Quibish Uista, researcher for the committee.
There's my committee secretary, Asuka. This one coming also here.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Mrs. Matilda Letago. I'm the executive secretary to the chairperson.
I'm Chantal Arendt, executive secretary.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Fuyiswa Papu, secretary to the provincial whip, Mr. Chichimokoro from the Northern Cape. Thank you.
All those staff that are coming from Parliament, also PMG, all of them.
Good morning. My name is Tabiso Bawa. I'm the assistant to the secretary.
Good morning, Kirsten Seely, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Is there anyone that is here?
Good morning. Morning. My name is Chizuko Sato. I'm a researcher from Japan, and currently staying at a PLUS, UWC.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Morning, my name is Bongile Skosana, committee assistant.
Okay. I think we know everyone. I'll hand over to the department to introduce the entourage.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable members of the committee available, and all the support, staff to the committee. Chair, I would start, of course, by introduction. I will introduce myself, and other members will introduce themselves. before handing over to myself and to proceed with the work of the day. My name is Pule Sekawana. I am the acting DDG for corporate services for the Department of Rural Development.
Good morning. I'm the Chief Land Claims Commissioner, named Nopundo Kobodo.
Good morning. I'm Irene Singo, the acting Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, members and colleagues and stakeholders. I'm Vusi Mahlangu, the Deputy Director General, Land Reform and Administration.
Morning, Chairperson. My name is Pawan Maluleke. I'm the Chief Director representing the DDG, Rural Infrastructure Development.
Good morning. My name is Ralph Sebifelo, Parliamentary Liaison Officer for the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform.
Thank you. I think we all introduced ourselves. Let me take this opportunity again to welcome you in this meeting. There are some apologies that are in front of me. Mrs. Makala has been bereaved. Twanambi is sick. Honorable JB, I don't know. Zulu and Mhobi. There's also a letter from the DG, and Deputy. DG. An apology from the DG.
You try and come
later. Oh, yeah. Okay. Maybe you will join us on the way. The agenda of today is a briefing by the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform on their strategic plan and annual performance plan, with specific reference to completed and progress on current recapitalization and revitalization projects in all provinces, progress in selected outstanding land claims in Free State, KZN, Mpumalanga, and Limpopo. That is the main agenda that is going to happen today. You are going to hear from the department. Before I get the department to give us this briefing, as the committee, as the chair of the committee, I didn't hear anything about the documents until today. We didn't receive any documents as the committee to read. So I need to have explanation before we start, if we are going to start. Because we don't need just these documents just for fun. We need to interrogate the documents, and then we can be easy to ask questions. So if I can get document now, how can I ask questions from you? There's nothing, because I didn't read the document. So I wanted to hear from you guys what happened with the documents.
Thank you, Chairperson. Indeed, there's been some fundamental delays on our side to submit this documentation, and our sincere apology to the effect. safe to say that a number of reports on progress, in particular, as the chair would note, that the questions really related to progress and in our attempt to making the progress status as up to date as possible, and given our shortfall and shortcomings on internal system, on collation, on projects in the department, it becomes quite difficult for us to get latest progress on projects in provinces, in districts, and as far as the two questions are concerned. However, we indeed apologize for the delay, and we hope to improve in future on such aspects.
So what did you expect from us now? Did you expect us to continue with the meeting without the document? What did you expect? I must get it from you. What did you expect before I've engaged another members? What did you expect from us?
No, indeed, it's a difficult situation, Madam Chair. I would rather suggest that it be the final call of the committee, given the situation. We are, however, here today with the required info.
I don't want to be this between me. I want all the officials to get in this because, you know, in the portfolio committee you did it very well. But when you come to us, you don't give us anything. So what did you expect from us? I'm just seriously asked because we need to read this document because we are going to debate these things. And we need to ask questions from you. There's a debate I was going to schedule for this program. So, what did you do? You think that we can continue with this meeting without any documents? Everyone coming here without documents. Even yesterday, I was receiving calls from the members to ask about the document. I said, no, I didn't receive anything. So, what's that? No, I don't know. I will ask the other honourable members maybe to chip in. But in my case, I don't know what can we do. Honourable West.
Yes, Chair, it's totally unacceptable. And I've just had a look at these documents here. It's all to do with land restitution, land claims, which is fine, well and good. But I'm looking for figures. You know, this is one of the first departments on which I put make a budget speech on. And I'm looking for the actual figures, the budget, and how much has been allocated to each section. That's what I'm actually looking for. And it's one of the first departments to come up in the House. Okay, and it's totally unacceptable. I don't see these figures here at all.
Thank you. Welcome, Honourable Mabe. There's Honourable Mabe. She is from the member of the committee, my co-chair. She is from Gauteng. Honourable Mother, we are in a discussion about it. We didn't receive any documents from the department. We just received it now. So we just asked from them, what can we do? In fact, we want from them because we need to interrogate the document. And we are going to debate these things. We are serious with the document because we are going to debate with the document. So we are asking from them, what can we do? So you talk about the process is that you need to do what you don't have any monitoring systems in your process. In place to track the process. You just need to go.
Thanks, Chairperson, if I may. You know, indeed, we're actually in the process of implementing an enterprise-wide program management in the department, which will be electronic. As matters stand now, we're still using manual systems. And like I alluded earlier on, I think the way the challenge was mainly was on progress. You're right in terms of the portfolio committee. What we do there, because we don't necessarily give progress, we give plans. it is therefore easy to submit such reports. Really, where the snag was, I think we spend a lot of time to say how far should we report, up to what level, up to what point, given the progress report. That's really where the delay was. Other than that, I think we could have submitted on time. In terms of the budgets and all that, we've structured our presentation in such a way that, not that we do not have figures, we have structured the presentation in such that following the questions was asking more on projects out there and their progress. So we didn't necessarily put in the presentations that you have there funding to the projects per se, but we were talking projects in terms of maturity of the project as they develop. However, I think we can provide the figures if the committee so desire.
Thank you. Welcome, Honorable Makubela. We are in a part of discussion with the Deputy Department, the officials. We scheduled our meeting last week. I don't know, but last when did we give them the invite? The 2 weeks ago. We invited them 2 weeks ago. We were supposed to have a meeting yesterday,
yes.
But we have cancelled because we have got another engagement. So we said the meeting is going to be held today. But in our surprise, we didn't get the documents until now.
Mm-hmm.
So we, on that issue, said that how can we process? Because it's very, it's to us, we are serious about this because we are going to debate these things.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to ask questions. And we don't like to ask questions in writing. Coming, we wanted to interrogate the document before. So we are on that. So I will give it to Honorable Mabek to say what can we do. Yeah.
Ma, can I propose that maybe as a committee we meet and discuss? Maybe we take a 10-minute break so that we agree amongst ourselves.
Okay. Nani ke nibe nihlangana ni discuss. Kahle niphinde nalo migodlo ye. Okay, 5-10 minutes, ne? You want a pen tablet?
Other than being, I think it's a great thing. But
Rural development. Thank you very much. We have been engaged with the honourable members, and then we resolved that you can present the document, but we are not going to ask any questions from you.
To this committee sitting today, you had requested that on the basis of our APP and the strategic plan, the committee would like a special briefing of this kind, focusing particularly on the two issues, that being of the recap and revitalization projects in the provinces and the briefing on outstanding claims, particularly in the Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga and Limpopo. Indeed, Chairperson, as per our APP, as submitted for the current financial year, we have put at the center of our strat plan and our APP for the coming year the issue of land reform projects, and in particular restitution, and in particular restitution as it relates to the centenary of the 1913 Land Act, and the reopening of restitution lodgement to those individuals and communities who were left out at the closing date of the last closing date as per the Gazette. What we will rather do, Chairperson, is that we would shoot straight into the actual presentation, and would start with the recap program and project. And to that effect, I'm going to ask you on Tate Mahlangu Mvuse to take you through this presentation and explaining some of those aspects that you had raised. Mvuse.
Thanks, Mr. Sikhon. Thanks, Chairperson, and honorable members again. I will go through the presentation. I think it's the most colorful presentation out of all the presentation here, with some beautiful cartoon outside there. If you quickly go to the second slide, it talks about the objectives. It's RADP is just an acronym for Recapitalization and Development Program. We always like to bring to the attention of everyone what were the objectives of this. The first was to increase production on the targeted farms. As you know, that since 1994, when the farms were being acquired, there was very little support, and then this came as a rescue package to assist those that have been didn't have support all these years. This includes all the land reform projects. When we say land reform members, we basically mean redistribution. We mean restitution. Redistribution consists of your old LRAD, flag slack, and then we also mean the new one, which is the leasehold, which is the plus productive land acquisition strategy. So when you say land reform, people must just know that this recapitalization and development covers across all the properties that were bought by the state since time immemorial. Then to contribute to national and household food security, as you will know that if all the land reform farms are productive, it means that we contribute to the food security, and in particular the household before the national picture, to develop smallholder farmers into commercial farmers and ensure integration into agricultural value chain. As you know, historically, black farmers are emerging farmers, so as you assist them, you are graduating them from subsistence into commercial farming when they start trading. To create sustainable employment and enterprise, develop opportunities within the agricultural sector. So here we are saying one of the conditions that goes with the recap is that all the farm workers that are on the farm, their jobs are supposed to be sustained so that employment stay the same or it increase. Number five, to promote development of vulnerable groups, including youth.
Sorry, you know, your phone is just phone.
Oh, sorry. Thanks, man. Sorry for that. Number five, to promote development of vulnerable groups, including the youth, women, people with disabilities, farm workers, and farm dwellers. The targeted strategy is that whenever we do this in our business plan, we want to reflect how these vulnerable groups are being assisted. As you know, currently, we also do the NARICEC. I'll talk to that on number seven. Number six, to broaden the skill space in rural areas as part of the land and agrarian reform agenda. Chair, the point number six is very important. Before, the department used to buy farms in the commercial farming industry. Now we are saying with recapitalization and development, we are not only limited in just buying farms and recapitalizing them. We move to the rural space. You will see as we go along when we talk about the 23rd district, what recapitalization and development does in those areas. Seven, to establish new farmers in terms of NARISEC. Here, we all know that the department so far has appointed about 11,000 or so youth within the department. We are saying part of our targeted strategy is to ensure that we train them in the farming or in the agricultural industry, and when we do the allocation of the new farms, we consider them. They don't have basically to own the farms, but they can work under the mentorship so that they learn the agriculture going forward, creating a new breed of farmers. To make strategic investment in economic and social infrastructure, if you notice currently the properties that we are buying, we are not only targeting hectares, but we are buying going concern, agro-processing, so that at the end of the day, our farmers enter into the entire value chain, but they don't just farm, but they also have benefits in the value chain. Then the next slide that reads completed and progress on current recapitalization and revitalization project in all the provinces. The first column, if you ignore the figures, next time I'll make sure that I put the names of the farms so that you know exactly where this picture is coming from. But for now, if you go to province, I'll start with the Eastern Cape just to make an example. We are saying that since 2009 to 2013 March in Eastern Cape alone, we have done 131 projects. Number of strategic partners operating in the area are 14. Number of people working in the farms that are under recap and development are 650. We even went further, Chairperson, to look at the bank balances of these farmers that we are assisting. The gross income generated is there. The total amount is about 600 million. This is the gross income before they pay their taxes, before they pay other costs and all. We're not sure about the net profit that they are getting, but we can safely say how much the farmers have generated so far. So this should be good for our subs out there, because there will be new people paying, contributing to the revenue services. So if you look at the last column on the extreme on my right, it talks about 2.1 billion. This is an amount of recap that has been injected in all the 1,269 farms since we started in 2009. The next column just gives you the total of strategic partners there, which is 107, and the number of people working in these farms are more than 7,000 so far. So that concludes that slide. Then the next slide is basically a summary of what Mr. Sikawane will present in terms of our ops plan. It tells you that going forward to 2013-2014, which is this current financial year that we are starting, strategically located land acquired and allocated. Number of hectares is 311,000. That is what we are targeting if resources allows. And then secondly, recapitalization and development support provided to land reform beneficiaries and rural communities. That's broken into two. First is number of farms newly placed under recapitalization and development, which is 344. And then secondly, number of existing farms under recapitalization is 386. Let me just explain that. There's a logic. When you start recapitalization and development, it's not a once-off exercise. You find that one farm, for it to be productive, it needs to be mentored for 3 years or 5 years. So that is why you've got a category of what are still running and those that are already recapitalized. Then the next slide, you can just, this slide, Chair, it talks to number of projects, projected and implemented recapitalization and projects in the 23 districts. Remember here, the emphasis is 23 districts. So if you compare this slide and the previous slides are giving you a picture in the whole country, but this is the focus in the 23 poor districts. So we are saying number of implemented projects so far, out of that 1,269 I spoke about, 459 are from these 23 districts. You will see KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape and Northwest as the highest number. And then the last column says number of projected recapitalization and development for 2013-2014. We are still carrying on. We are planning to do 260 of them in this current financial year, after having done 459. So there's a lot that we are pumping in this district. Then this it talks to completed and progress on current recapitalization and revitalization project in all the provinces. So now you can see that here we're just saying the picture what is the picture of all of them? It's about 540, where we are planning to spend additional 1.2 billion out of the 2 billion that I've mentioned in the earlier slides. Then the breakdown is there. The province, Eastern Cape, is topping the list because it's got many of those rural areas, and that's where the biggest problems with the farms are. Then it basically ends here, the recapitalization and development response and the provinces and the 2026. We were asked specific measure achievements. There's a slide there that is indicating 7 that talks to measure achievement on recap and development projects, which are multi-year projects, and their impact realized over the period of time depending on the commodity. If you look at the budget speech of the minister, we talk about the rest meat value chain, we talk about brawler, we talk about grain, we talk about sugar cane, and then here we're just summarizing what is the impact that we have done. The red meat, it was our first pilot project. It was done by Bloemfontein Abattoir with all the farms that we have identified. We have reached 85% of the production level. Total number of 3,939 cattle across Free State, Northern Cape, and Northwest were acquired. The hectares that were covered where these cattle were found are about 58,000 hectares. The jobs created under these partnerships are 132 permanent jobs and 1,187 temporary jobs. Why we have so many temporary jobs is because most of the time they come for fencing, building canals, dams, and all the stuff, and thereafter they move somewhere else. That's why they are called temporary. But the 132 are those that are permanent on the system in those particular farms that consisting of 558,000 hectares. Then on the broiler, the department has recapitalized at the time of report 7 broiler projects, mostly in the northwest and one in the Free State. We have others in different provinces, but these are high level, like the request was saying. We thus collectively the supply of about 2.3 million ready slaughtered broiler beds to contract market. So here we're talking about farms that have already have a market with your big organization like Eli Bay Drenbo. The highest black commercial producer assisted by this recap and development is producing about 528 beds per cycle. It's not per day, per cycle. A cycle is normally between 35 days to 40 days. Then in the grain, we started with an organization which is known in the agricultural sector, the Grain SA. They are mentoring 16 of our farms. These farms have collectively planted so far 2,400 hectares under maize and sunflower. The farmers has been assisted with machinery, implements, and inputs. Cost Grain SA intervention is rolled out in Mpumalanga soon, Northwest, and Gauteng in this current financial year, wherein the total of 30 farms will be planted. So we couldn't put the hectares because they said they can't tell exactly because depending on the level of the soil or the quality of the soil. Then we move to sugar cane. That's where we are also making the impact. The land reform transfer represents about 21% of the land under commercial sugar cane production in KwaZulu-Natal. We are talking about 371,000 hectares that should be valid, gazetted, and land claims be settled terminously. It will run up until to 50% of the land under the commercial sugar production, which will be owned by black growers. The department so far has invested more than 98 million in the sugar industry to support emerging cane growers who currently planted 4,500 hectares under the cane and 347 jobs permanent and seasonal. What is happening there is because most of the sugar cane farms are claimed. So we're targeting both those that are claimed already and then those that are belonging to the small growers. If you go to Port Shepstone areas, you'll find that there's big vast of land. But not all of them are owned by one family or one person. They are just small plots that are owned by different people that they are called emerging small cane growers. We are targeting them for subsistence and commercial purposes. That's basically that. The last slide is just telling you, I talk about the big project in the Northwest that produces 728 beds. It's called Shumani Broiler. It's sitting on 54 hectares. And permanent jobs 46, temporary jobs 29. Kupuga, Salvia Broiler, 130 hectares. and the information is there. I just want to bring to the attention of the members something here. If you look at the total hectare, read 54, 130, 32, and 22 hectares. We're reflecting this to reflect that previously we said land reform will bring so many hectares. Now, when you start buying going concern and broilers, your number of hectares are small, but the price of that production is very expensive. So that is why as we go forward, we will realize that we are not meeting our targets of distributing land, because now we are starting to move away from just the hectareage, but also buying going concern, which are businesses that are running so that people get employed and there's production there. So, but we'll explain that when we present the full, when we explain the full operational plan of the department. That's basically the highlights, members, and thank you.
Thank you, sir. And then I'll pass over to the
Thank you, Chairperson. My role is to present on the information requested by the committee that will present an indication of the progress of outstanding claims in the four provinces, that's the Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. We'll also indicate the budget projections for those provinces for the current financial year. And in terms of these four provinces, the Commission received approximately 25,965 land claims in those respective provinces. And since inception, we've settled 24,332 claims and finalized 10,444. And if I can explain the difference between settled and finalized. When we say settled, we mean that the claim has gone through research, validation, gazetting, negotiation, and the minister has then signed the 42 agreements to indicate that the claim has been approved as a valid claim. And when we say finalized, we mean that after the minister's signature, if it's actual land, that the transfer has happened, and if it's financial compensation, that all the beneficiaries in respect of that specific claim have been paid. And so what we're saying is, we're saying 24,000 settled, 10,000 finalized. And there are usually various issues that would cause potential delays between settlement and finalization of the claim. In the past financial year, a total of 218 claims were settled. As I said, those are where the ones where they're signed by the minister. And 170 claims were finalized, where the ones were fully paid and properties were transferred to the beneficiaries. Should also be noted that the number of outstanding claims is not the variance between the 25,000 and the settled, which would equate to 1,633. But it's a combination of claim forms and the rights in land. When I say combination between claim forms and rights in land, I mean that you can find in one claim five land rights, and therefore you would then have to consider that as well. Or you might find that one family lodges as an individual family, and when you do the research, actually establish that it's actually a community claim as well. So they're very interesting. So we're continuing to unpack the processes as it unfolds. If we move to the next slide, page 4, we speak about settled and finalized claims from inception to the 31st of March 2013. And again, we speak to the specific provinces, and you can see there that the total is of finalized claims is 10,444, settled is 24 that I spoke to, and the initial lodged is the 25. The following slide speaks to the summary of settled and finalized claims as of the 1st of April 2012 to the 31st March 2013. You can see, for example, in the Free State, we say that the number of claims that were settled, there are five claims settled, number of claims finalized, 26. That is the figure, the total there, which says 170, is the total of finalized claims. It will consist of backlog claims and new claims. And when we speak of backlog claims, we speak of claims that were settled in the previous financial years, but were not finalized because there was work that still needed to be done. So that's why when you look, for example, at Free State, you see that the number between 5 settled, but you've got 26 finalized. So the work continues, even though it was settled in a specific year. And outstanding claims at the 31st of March 2013, those are broken down per province. If you go to the first date again, which is the first one, you get an indication of the number of claims not researched, which is 3. Those, it means that those have not yet been even looked at. The validation 13 that are in the process of validation, you've got 5 that are in being researched, 9 that are being gazetted, 13 that are in the verification process, 3 that are under valuation, and 13 negotiated, and 13 that have section 42D that are ready to be signed, and that's a total of 63. And 5 that was settled in 2013, and then 2 dismissed. And then at the bottom, then you've got a total of 5,623. And if you look at the note, the total outstanding claims in respect of the above mentioned provinces is 5,623. And in 2012-13, 218 claims were settled, 20 claims were dismissed. Total outstanding as of 31st March, minus the settled claims, as in 31st March 2013, and minus the dismissed claims, gives you that total to March 2013. And the following slide, which is page 7, gives you the budgeted projections for 2013-14. For the 4 provinces. And you can see that, for example, KwaZulu-Natal and Limpopo and Mpumalanga, mainly, generally in the commission, have the largest budgets because of the nature of the claims that we have there. And mostly the claims that are left, complex claims that are quite big as well, and require much attention. For example, in some instances, we have to actually get experts to conduct some of the research for us. And the total there is 1.9 billion. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Those were the two main presentations that the committee had requested. And I'm not sure if the committee would further request any other presentation.
Thank you very much. As I said before, that I don't want to ask anything. Thank you very much.
You gave them the
I'm just going to get back now.
Okay, no, it's fine if you have.